Hey everyone, I'm Dr. Terry, and this is the Love Doctor program on Empower Radio, the show that gives you the facts about relationships and love. Now, I've been helping individuals and couples improve their relationships for the past 30 years, and today I'm here to give you science-based strategies for your relationships and those of your children. Welcome, welcome, everyone. It's Dr. Terry. Thanks so much for joining me today. I appreciate you. Now, I have another great program for you today. My guest is Sean Conley. As a boy, he dreamed of playing in the NFL, and that dream became an obsession. He ate, drank, and slept football. He beat up his body with relentless overtraining, believing that the only way to be happy was with a long, successful career in the NFL. Today, Sean will discuss how he hit rock bottom, but then discovered a path to profound healing, resiliency, and a new life. He is also the author of a new book called The Point After: How One Resilient Kicker Learned There Was More to Life Than the NFL. For more information about Sean Conley or his new book, please go to seanconley.net. So welcome to the program, Sean. Great to have you with us today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here today.
Me too. And I'm so excited to talk with you. Now, first, I know you've played on several NFL teams. You've played on the Detroit Lions, the Indianapolis Colts, and the New York Jets. And many listeners are saying, wow, what a dream. So briefly share with listeners a bit more about your childhood dream and playing in the NFL. What was that like, Sean?
Oh, yeah. Thanks for asking. So, yeah, I started at a very young age of kicking. I played multiple sports, but kicking was my love. I participated in punt, pass, and kick competitions. That's where you have a chance to do one of each: punt, then pass, then kick. And at the age of eight, I came in third place, but I just had so much fun doing it. I was hooked on the game. You know, I grew up in Erie, Pennsylvania, a small town, and in northwestern PA, and it was a football town. So that was like the thing to do. Like, you know, you hit it big if you were like a football player or a big sports star. So, you know, I got into that world, and you know, for me, it was, you know, most of the time it was just for the love of the game. And, you know, luckily through a lot of hard work and some bounces that went my way and got lucky and some persistence, I eventually made it to the NFL, which was, you know, that was what I thought was what I always wanted. And that was, you know, as you mentioned in the introduction, that was what was going to make me happy. But, you know, I realized after my career ended, and it ended far sooner than I had hoped to. I'd hoped to go out, like most athletes, to go out on my own terms. But because I trained so hard and I pushed so hard for this to happen, it unfortunately came at a price. But then once it ended, you know, I spent some time being stuck in, you know, what I like to say, like the world of if only I did this differently, if only I was on this team, I'd still be in the NFL. But it didn't go that way. But luckily for me, over time, I was able to move on, and here I am today speaking with
right,
you.
So, thank you for sharing that journey, Sean, with listeners and with me. So afterwards, what inspired you then to write the book, The Point After, given your experiences?
Yeah, for me, writing the book was, you know, I was probably one of the most unlikely people to get into yoga and to meditation and into mindfulness, you know, because it was all about, for me, sports and being this professional athlete. And what I discovered is not only did I beat up my body in my pursuit of my NFL dream, but I also beat up my mind and with a lot of negative self-talk. Like when I had a lot of highs in my career, but I also had lows, and I had a lot of difficulty, you know, moving on when I'd get down or when I'd get released by a football team. So for me, you know, writing this book was a way that I thought I could share my story about my ups and downs in my life, but that, you know, there's so much more. I think a lot of times we we feel like our identity is this, like, so I have this job, so I'm this, or, you know, for me, it was, I was always going to be a football player, but I discovered through practicing mindfulness and yoga that, you know, that we're more than these identities that we put on ourselves. And, you know, we don't have to let our failures, you know, get us down, that we can continue to move on and, you know, be more present in our lives, be more mindful and just remember that there's just so much more than out there than what we think, you know, how life should be.
Right. That childhood dream or that mm-hmm. identity, that label right. doesn't make us, but there's so much more to us. And I know in your book, you share all these lessons that you've learned on this journey. Before we get to that, though, Sean, because I definitely want to get to those lessons about resiliency that you're mentioning, but I'm sure listeners are thinking, well, you know, how does an NFL player go from, you know, playing sports to yoga and meditation, and even now as a teacher of yoga and meditation, how did you get that path?
That's a great question. A lot of poking and prodding from my wife, I would say. That was
so relationship.
Absolutely,
I love it. Relationships allow us to grow and change. So what did she say to you that really inspired you?
Well, she was way ahead of her time in terms of teaching yoga. She got into yoga in the 90s before it was mainstream. And while I was still bouncing around the NFL with the Colts and the Jets, she was doing yoga. And, you know, we had just got married and we had a kid at the age of 23. So we're really young. So we had a lot going on. But she really believed in it. The yoga practice helped her when, you know, she had a career. She was a school teacher, and then that ended. She decided, you know, I'm going to just work on raising my family right now. And so, mm-hmm. but she supported me at that time, and she kept pushing me to try yoga. But I was stubborn about it because at the time, you know, men weren't doing yoga, and it was right. seen as something that was maybe like out there and wasn't macho. And so I resisted. And of course she was right, because my injuries, I tried everything. I tried all the conventional therapies of, you know, taking painkillers and muscle relaxants, but eventually I just beat up my body and I couldn't, that was it. I my leg just didn't have the same strength. But then afterwards, a couple of years after my career ended, I got even like more depressed, you could say, from not just from my football career ending, but then my father, who was my best friend, he had terminal colon cancer. So I was really down and mm-hmm. I was having nightmares a lot. And then I got to the point that, you know, not only was my body broken, but also my self-esteem. And I was, you know, the saddest with my dad. So I said, you know, I should just try this. Mm-hmm. And so I tried it. And at first it didn't go so well because my body was so beat up. And when I went to this yoga class, it was myself and 20 women, and they're all moving through the poses, no problem. And here's me. I look like a broken down Volkswagen. And I was trying to push through the poses, like, you know, like how I approached my football career, and it didn't work. But mm-hmm. Luckily for me, the more I practiced, I realized it wasn't just the physical that I could heal my body with, but it was also mm-hmm. it was also my mind and how I look at things and my perspective. But, you know, it was my wife's support through the football and to yoga that I really owe that to her.
Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah.
But it's also, it's so inspirational to hear that as a male, because you're absolutely right. In most yoga classes, there are fewer males than females. And so it's inspirational to know that even though you didn't feel like you were going to be able to do the poses and, you know, what was going on in the class well or well enough at the beginning, that you stuck with it and you practiced it and you found out that it could heal and help you physically and psychologically. And so on your journey then, Sean, you speak about learning several lessons, especially in resiliency. Share with listeners some of those lessons and how you've made those lessons real for you.
Yeah, for resiliency, you know, I think back about how, you know, in the moment, it's hard to realize, like, what am I actually doing that's making me keep going? It's sometimes easier to look back. And I think for me, it was just, I used to look at it. I never wanted to have any regrets as I kept trying to make it to the NFL. So I would, you know, be cut by an NFL team, and it was easy just to give up. But I didn't want to have any regrets. So I would just keep trying and keep pushing. And that's what always drove me. Now, there was another side to that I discovered, that, you know, there's a certain point in life or when you're pursuing something that it's okay to step away from it if it's not working. And that's, mm-hmm. that was one of the big lessons I learned. So first it was, you know, I learned how to be more resilient and keep pushing and, you know, ignoring the critics. And so that always helped too. I always lived by that lesson. But there was the other lesson that I learned is there's a certain point that, you know, if I'm beating myself up physically and mentally, it's okay to step away.
So. I like that message. It's okay to step away from something that isn't working. And I know parents who are listening are thinking, Sean, well, how do I help my children set standards that are high or that, you know, goals, but yet also say it's okay if it's not working and that doesn't mean you're a failure? What would you say to those parents then?
Yeah, that, you know, for me, you know, we have four kids that comes up a lot. And right. especially with what's happening in the world right now, like, you know, our one daughter lost her job and, you know, so they're trying all these different things and, you know, some of them aren't working. And, you know, we usually tell them, you know, if it's something that's like not in your heart anymore, you know, maybe it's time to step away. I know that was something for me, like after my NFL career ended, I had a job in the pharmaceutical industry, and I did that for 8 years, and I was pretty successful with it, selling and so forth. But after a while, I realized my heart wasn't into it because of, you know, things that were happening at that business that I wasn't aligned with. And so it was okay to step out. And so we always encourage our kids to, you know, just, you know, follow your heart as much as you can. And unfortunately, it's so much easier said than done. You know, we all want to like find our passion, but, you know, for them, we just keep encouraging them just to keep an open mind. And, you know, when things don't go your way, you know, just to stay open that there could be something out there. You know, I love the quote about, where one spends too much time looking at the door that's closed that they don't realize that there's mm-hmm. another door that's already opened. Mm-hmm. And I know that was for me when my NFL career opened. And so for our kids, we talk about that a lot, you know, just to not be stuck when that opportunity seems to have closed, because there could be something else out there that is more richer, more rewarding and more aligned with, you know, what you're looking to do in your life.
Oh, very important message, Sean. I love it. And I think I've had to learn that in my life as well, that when one door closes, you look around and there are so many opportunities. I'm also a university professor and constantly saying that to my students, find what you love to do, because then it's not work, you right. know? And if you find something because it's a job and you need the money, that's okay. But it's also okay, as you said, to step away if it isn't working. I really like that message. Important for my children, parents out there, very important for your children as well. I know also, Sean, that you talk about surrounding yourself with champions of your cause as a lesson you've learned. Share with us a little bit about what that means.
Oh, yeah. When I was in this whole, you know, journey of making it to the NFL, I found that there was people who believed in me and who didn't. And I just found that, you know, luckily for me, when I was at the University of Pittsburgh, there was a coach there that I connected with, and he took on a fatherly relationship with me, like being away from home. And I've just found that, you know, not just in football, but or a sport that you play, that, you know, finding people who really believe in what you do. And so I try to, you know, bring that into everything I do in life. Like right now with my wife and our yoga studio, you know, we, you know, try to surround ourselves, you know, with like, you know, other teachers who also believe in, like, we're working with this common goal. 'Cause it's so easy. We can, when we hear like negative feedback about what we're doing at our job or anything in life, that we can just stick on that. And we so rarely focus on, you know, the positivity that we hear. And so, you know, we just, you know, try to always, whatever we're doing with our business, with our lives, is people who also, you know, share the same dreams and optimism and positivity for what we're looking to create.
I think that's great and a very important message to listeners. And for my clients, I'm always telling them as well, surround yourself with people who really care about you and love you, because we all need that affirmation and validation. Yes, positive criticism maybe is okay when we ask for it or when we're writing an essay and we're in college, but we don't need that negativity around us, especially now. Absolutely. Thank you. And any other messages that you want to share with listeners?
Yeah, I would say, you know, just taking time to breathe, I think, especially with what's going on right now. And, you know, I was someone who just refused to breathe, you know, through how I pushed for sports. And then when I first did yoga, and I've just found for me, just taking a few minutes each day just to like either sit and try to meditate or do some yoga poses. Cause I think what's been really exciting these days in yoga and meditation is it's becoming far more mainstream now. We have like LeBron James meditates regularly, and Kobe Bryant meditated every morning. It's just finding a way just to get away from the busyness, and it could be meditating or it could just be taking like a walk in the woods just to have that headspace. And so just, I like to schedule it into my day. Cause if I'm a big scheduler, and if I don't schedule in my time to just step out, whether it's yoga or meditating, it doesn't happen. But I think just, you know, making sure that each day I'm going to spend at least 3 or 4 minutes, you know, hopefully more if possible, of just, you know, being, you know, with myself and breathing and just allowing the mind to quiet for a little bit.
Take time to breathe. And can you share with us, Sean, what you might do during those 3 to 4 minutes? So what would you say to yourself during that quiet time? How would you breathe? Help listeners understand maybe what you do as a ritual every day.
Yeah, I keep my meditation really simple. And usually what I'll do is I'll take a timer, and that keeps me accountable for the time I'm there. And when I'm busy, I'll just set it for 5 minutes. And during those 5 minutes, I just sit as comfortable as I can. I'll take a cushion. You know, a lot of times we think that we have to like sit real still on the floor, but I like to make myself comfortable so I can breathe. And all I do for during that time period is I just do my best to follow my breath. So when I breathe in softly, I just say to myself, I'm breathing in. And then when I breathe out, I'm breathing out. So I'll do that. Or certain days, like if there's something that I feel is off, like let's say where I'm not feeling enough gratitude in my life, for example, I'll just say to myself a mantra meditation where I'll just say, I am grateful, and I'll just do something like that. And it works. And it's like I said, it doesn't have to be anything complicated, but even if I'm sitting there and I have a hard time staying focused, cause this happens a lot, my mind will be somewhere else and I'm trying to focus on my breath, but I'm not, but I've always noticed that I always feel better and more relaxed after even just the 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, thank you. And I know as we experience many challenges right now in the world and in our lives and in our families, it's so important, as you said, to just be simple and to do that and to sit and to be grateful. Now, I also know that you've talked about letting go of those if onlys as well as something you've learned. Help us understand how you let go of those if only.
Yeah, this one's really hard. I mean, I had a really hard time with it when my NFL career ended, but it still happens here and there. So what I like to do is immediately just like catch myself if I'm starting to think, oh, if only I, you know, like took this job instead of that job, or if something just happened, like, oh, if only I wouldn't have said those words to that person, you know, something I want to take back. I always just try to like ground myself in coming back to the gratitude. So I just try to list, hey, it's okay. And like, you know, my life is good with what I have right now, and just remind myself to be gratitude. And I've noticed it takes time and it's a practice. And you know, for me, when I was stuck with the NFL, that took me years to let go of. But now I've noticed, you know, by like bringing in some mindfulness and meditation into my life, I can shorten that timeline to let go of those if onlys. It doesn't go away completely, but at least I'm aware when I start to go back into that old habit of holding on to the past and regret.
Mm-hmm. And identifying it is the big thing then as well. Mm-hmm. So that's great. So letting go of the if onlys, it's okay to step away from something if it isn't working. Take time to breathe and surround yourself with champions of your causes and of you. Those are wonderful lessons. Do you talk about this in the book, Sean? And who do you hope or want to read your book?
Yeah. So in my book, I talk about this, but it was in a way of more showing. I was lucky enough to work with I had a yoga teacher that I was a friend who was also an editor. And she just kept reminding me, when you write, show, don't tell. So instead of, you know, these lessons that we're talking about, taking time to breathe and it's okay to step away. So I would just, you know, show that with what happened in my life. And then, you know, leaving it up to, you know, personal interpretation of the reader of that lesson.
Mm-hmm. And who do you hope to read the book?
Oh yes. And who I hope to read. So my hope for this book was to make it something that's beyond a sports book. And I've, you know, people tell me that my sports story is interesting, and I hope they're right. But what I was trying to do in this book is to make it for a reader who wants to, you know, just find a way where they could relate to my story, you know, through resilience, you know, being hard on themselves. You know, that was a big part of the book. I tried to make myself as vulnerable as possible about what I was feeling in all these moments. And I think it's a story where, you know, from the outside, when we hear about somebody who's made it to the NFL, like there could be stories about someone like, you know, Tom Brady, who made it to the very top. But my story is quite different. I'm someone who had a constant struggle, and I was, you know, constantly working my way from the bottom to the top. And then, you know, and then I just, you know, try to do my best of, you know, sharing my feelings of, you know, what it was like. But I think, you know, for someone who just, you know, is not into sports, I think they may just, they may find somewhere in the story that they can relate to some of these lessons.
And I know that people and listeners can. And I, for one, really appreciate your vulnerability and your sharing of your feelings, both in the NFL, getting out of the NFL, and then now with yoga and meditation. Now, we only have about 2 minutes left, Sean. If there's one message that you'd like listeners to take away from this program, what might it be?
Yeah, I would say as best as can be is to try to bring something into your life where you can be more in the present moment. I think, you know, especially with, you know, what's happening right now in the world, it is just so easy to get caught up in everything. And that is just to, you know, just to remember that, you know, we have one life, one body, and this is it. You know, for me, I beat up my body, you know, very badly, but also, you know, my inner dialogue of how I spoke with myself. And it's just doing our best to let go of that and just be here right now, right in the miracle.
A very important message. Be present, be here, be now. You only have one body, one life. So enjoy. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Sean. It was wonderful to talk to you. And thank you for sharing your personal journey and the lessons you've learned along that journey. Thank you.
I really appreciate it. Thank you so much. Had a great time.
My pleasure. It was great to talk to you. And again, listeners, if you want more information about Sean Conley or his new book called The Point After, How One Resilient Kicker Learned There Was More to Life Than an NFL, please go to seanconley.net. And as always, thanks for listening. I appreciate you. I'm Dr. Terry, and this is the Love Doctor program on Empower Radio. I'm here to help all your relationships, including the one with yourself, be the best they can be. My personal website is Dr. Terry, thelovedoctor.com, where I provide you with science-based relationship advice that's easy to understand and include in your life. So listeners, until next time, be safe, be healthy, and here's to your happy, healthy relationships.